So we'll go right into the sermon. As some of you have already expressed to me, I'll express back to you, this has been very interesting 2 weeks. I don't want to do this again. It's been a couple of weeks with, let's not do this. My situation and what I'm working on is different than yours, but from what I'm hearing, we're done. We could say we're done. Over this past week, we were praying for Angie and Nancy. Over the past couple of 3 weeks, I was chatting with someone who just wanted to walk away from everything. Not suicidal, just everything here, I'm done. And long chats about that. And it got me to thinking, which is a good thing. I think we should all be thinking. Let me take you back a few years to another time, to another country. I want to present to you a quote at the beginning of this message that was quite applicable then during their time of trouble and applicable now during our spiritual journey, as fraught as it is with difficulties and trials and issues that we might have. The year is 1941. The time was World War II, prior to the entry of the United States. The location was England, specifically October 29, 1941, Harrow School, a boarding school for boys that was founded in 1572. Founded in 1572. And great minds have come out of this school. Winston Churchill was one of them. He was not yet knighted by Queen Elizabeth II. And he was asked to speak at his old alma mater, and provide encouragement going forward during their tough times. Of course, they were facing the Blitz. They were facing the Battle of Britain. They were facing Germany by themselves. Germany had taken over pretty much all of Europe, except for Portugal, Spain. They weren't part of the issue. There have been many misquotes about Mr. Churchill, and especially the quote that I'm about to share. But these are his words. These are his words, and I'm going to break into his thoughts. He said, another lesson I think... I can't do that basso profundo sound, and I don't have the jowls and the cheeks or his inimitable way of presenting. So it's just going to be me with his words. Another lesson I think we may take, just throwing our minds back to our meeting here 10 months ago and now, is that appearances are often very deceptive. And as Kipling well says, we must, quote, meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same. Says, you cannot tell from appearances how things will go. Sometimes imagination makes things out far worse than they are. The insurance companies know that. But we need insurance. Yet without imagination, not much can be done. Those people who are imaginative see many more dangers than perhaps exist. Certainly many more than will happen. But then they must also pray to be given that extra courage to carry this far-reaching imagination. But for everyone, surely what we have gone through in this period, I am addressing myself to the school, surely from this period of 10 months, this is the lesson. And it just is, I think it's at the conclusion of the Battle of Britain. The Blitz is over. Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Never give in. Two major points of encouragement we can walk away from this, from Churchill's speech. Appearances of trials and troubles can be deceiving as to their impact. We think that this is going to be overwhelming, we're done, we're doomed, but we're not. And the other is that we should never give in except to conviction, our belief system. And our belief system is in your lap. It's this book. Now, often this is misquoted as never give up. And that's a different genre. That's a different direction. Giving up means we quit. We throw in the towel. We say enough is enough. We have loss of direction, application, and vision. Something in us tells us to stop. That's what giving up is. Giving in means we surrender our desires, our will, to another force, another power, or another idea, or another belief that we cannot defend, we cannot overcome, and we cannot conquer. Both are within our power to control. Both are capable of bringing us to a halt. For whatever goal or challenge we set for ourselves or are given to us, when times get tough, we just simply must not give in nor give up. As I said, it's been a tough week. And God has some powerful, encouraging words for us. God has a lot to say about our struggles and our success. Through the Apostle Paul, he refers to our journey toward his kingdom as a race to run, a personal race to win, a challenge but with an incredible reward. And Churchill's encouragement fits so well. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. All we have to do is never give in, never give up, and finish the race. If you'd like titles, the title of today's message is Finish the Race. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9:24. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Under inspiration, Paul is using the analogy of athletics for our journey in conversion to encourage us to strive for the mastery of ourselves so that we may be part of God's coming kingdom. And I have to think the kingdom has got to be closer. It's got to be closer and closer. Regardless of the trials and troubles we encounter, we're to continue. When you think about a race, the attributes of a race is you have a starting line. Well, that's when we're called. That's when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. I'll use that. We have a finish line. We have a goal that we drive ourselves toward. And in a race, we have competition. What's our competition? Our human nature and our adversary, trying to defeat us from making the goal. See, we're not running a race against someone to get to the goal first. We're running a race to make the goal, to get the finish line. Those who engage in competition with others in teams or against others individually or even against the self all engage in similar activities in order to be successful. We have chosen to enter this race. God called us. We accepted the call. We examine the race. We examine the race course. We look at the rules of the race. What must we do to run this race successfully? We prepare ourselves for the race before and during. How do we do that? We do that through Bible study, through prayer, meditation, fasting. And then we begin, we start, we're in a race. You know, a race is active, always moving forward toward the finish line. You know, you can't stand still. Huh. My very first 10K race in my younger days, I thought it'd be neat to do a 10K race. So I signed up, I got my little number, and I got my running shorts, and I got my funny tennis shoes. I didn't really have running shoes. And my mind says, The place I should start is at the front. I like starting things at the beginning, right there. That's where I'm going to go. So I got there early, and I'm in the front, and the vista is open in front of me, and the course is marked, and I'm enjoying what I'm looking at in front of me until I turn around. There was 8,000 people behind me, all dressed to run. And when the gun went off, we were running. You cannot stay in still. You go along with the crowd. It took me a mile to work my way to the side and stop. Because these were real runners. What a race it was. And what a mind-opening thing it was. I wasn't ready to run the race that they were ready to run. I was really more in the center or the back. You know, the casual runners, the ones that were bringing coolers, dragging coolers, and they had their little chairs, and they'd stop and socialize. My goal was to run under an hour. It's 10K races, 5-something miles. Didn't make it. I still haven't made a 10K race under an hour. I've run 3. I learn each time, and I get better each time, but I haven't done under an hour. And today, that's out of the question. Shush. But our journey is a race. We are a race. We have started because God called us. We've accepted the race. The gun went off. God opened our mind. He filled us with His Holy Spirit. He opened Scripture to us. We are in a race. And our competition is our human nature and our adversary, who wants to stop us from crossing the finish line. We run with the goal in mind. We keep that focused. We become temperate, meaning we become balanced in all aspects of our life. It says that we become self-controlled. We control our appetites. We control our thoughts. We control the direction of where we're going and what we're doing and what we're saying. We learn with God's Holy Spirit to control and balance our lives. And we're not uncertain. You know, it says, Paul says, I fight. Well, you don't want to see me shadow box. No, we won't do that. He says we're not uncertain. We're confident in the goal. We're confident that because we started the journey, God will help us finish it and guide us through the route and will help us finish, get us to the finish line. We discipline our mind and control our body, our appetites. There is much we can glean from observing and participating in sports, truly, in competitions. There's many spiritual lessons that we can learn from our experiences and the examples of others. I was pointed to a series of humorous videos on the internet, and some were surprising, interesting, funny, heartbreaking, poignant, and they were all demonstrations of human nature that entertained and exposed me to some serious, simple spiritual lessons. I like the way I wrote that. Serious, simple spiritual lessons. Most had to do with sports and athletics, water sports, track and field, soccer, football, bicycling, even electronic games, all competitive. You know, one-on-one, team sports, or against the self. The outcomes weren't always as they wished. The series that I was watching was Celebrating Too Soon, and you can get an idea of just where this might go. The most unsatisfying moment is when you think you've won and you let up slightly and are beaten right at the end. You think you've got it. I'll skate. There's the goal. There's the finish line. What do you mean I lost? Yes, it happened. Before we get to some of those, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 7. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's talking about his journey being over. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I fought, I finished, and I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul wrote of his conclusion, and he stressed 3 points. He said he fought the good fight. He fought through times of trouble and temptation and difficulty, and he remained focused on his goal. He finished the race. Once started, you don't stop. All of us had that choice. Once we have started this race, we don't stop. And he kept the faith, meaning he endured the consequence of his beliefs. He endured the consequence to the end. And now there is a prize, the crown of righteousness, awaiting him. When Paul wrote Timothy, he kept the athletic analogy going, saying that he knew the time was up. He had fought. He fought himself. He fought his physical appetites. And he fought his human nature. And he knew the race was done. He completed it. There was nothing left for him to continue. He finished the race. And he kept his faith, kept the faith. His beliefs were his guidepost, and regardless of the stoning, the whippings, the beatings, the shipwrecks, and deprivation, he endured. He finished the race. None of us in this room have had stonings and whippings and beatings and shipwrecks and deprivations. But we're all having troubles and difficulties. And the word is to finish the race. Finish the race. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. There are those who preach a false gospel. They preach a false Christ. And if we allow ourselves, we could lose our crown to theft, deceit, and cheat. We're to hang on to the truth that God has revealed to us. We don't want to be deceived out of our crown. And Satan, the great deceiver, and our own human nature is our competition in this race. Satan would have us believe the race is already lost. The trials and troubles are just too unsurmountable. The difficulty is impossible. Just stop. Quit running. Let your goal go. Make it easy for yourself. Make it easy for yourself. I've had some education of flying. And when an airplane has a malfunction in the air, the pilot's first responsibility in this order is fly the plane, navigate the plane, and then communicate with anybody on the ground. And sometimes they get this order out of order with disastrous results. In December 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401, New York Kennedy to Miami, it was time to put down the landing gear. The nose wheel light didn't illuminate. And at 2,000 feet over the Everglades, the captain put the L-1011 jumbo jet on autopilot and worked with the second officer engineer trying to figure out, is the gear down? Is it just the light? Nobody's flying the plane. Well, it's on autopilot, right? Well, while they were moving about the cabin, one of the crew bumped the autopilot, disengaged. And because they're over the Everglades, they had no reference that they might have been descending. Because there's no lights in the Everglades. It's all dark outside. So they couldn't see that they were descending. And descended slowly into the Everglades and to disastrous results. The primary job of the pilot is to fly the plane. Aviate, navigate, and communicate. Don't be distracted from finishing the race. The pilot is the pilot. He must fly the plane. We should not allow the things in all our lives to distract us from the primary job to run and finish the race. Yogi Berra, he was the coach, catcher, and manager, I think, of the Yankees back in the 50s, 60s. He said, it ain't over until it's over. It's one of the Berraisms. Yogi Berra-isms. But it ain't over until it's over. Finish the race. He also said, I never said most of the things I said, but that's another story. We must endure to finish the race. Unless we're done and dead or the kingdom is here, and it's not, we are still in the race. From that series, let me give you a few examples of not finishing the race. During an international speed skating competition in Europe, the leader, he was from Spain, he was coming up on the finish line. Powerful, strong skater. He had a comfortable lead, and he sees the finish line in front of him, and he pushes off with one foot, and he's now skating on one foot, pounding his chest, throwing kisses to the crowd. Unfortunately, he was not over the finish line. His competition didn't know that he had won, didn't see him win, kept pressing and pushing and driving for that finish line, and the final result is China won over Spain by a skate length. The Spaniard had stopped. He quit shy of the finish line. He coasted, and he lost. There's a video of this. College football, Oregon versus Utah. I didn't write down the year. First quarter, Utah's leading 7-0. Utah with the ball. Got a 73-yard pass. But a fellow by the name of Clay ran through the defense. No one in front of him but the goal line. He's running. The TD's his. Nobody's going to catch him. Unfortunately, a yard before crossing the goal line, he coolly let the ball go as he crossed over the goal line. But where he dropped the ball, it was still in the playing field. And none of the referees did a touchdown. They just watched the ball because the ball was still live. He was in the end zone, but the ball wasn't. It was on the ground. It was considered fumble. And Utah celebrated. The announcers were celebrating. Until Oregon picks up the ball and runs 99 yards untouched for the touchdown the other way. The player didn't finish the play. And it was a 14-point turnaround when you look at it. Oregon went on to win 51-27. There'll be a test. No. The Apostle Paul told us that he gave us an example how to follow Christ, to follow him as he followed Christ. His example was to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. This must become our daily mandate, never to give in. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Finishing the race means watching ourselves, watching events around us, and remaining focused on the goal and continuing. Olympic speed skating, 5,000 meters. That's a lot of work. 5,000 meters, that's a couple of miles. In a two-man race, this is where you take long strides and you swing your body in this orchestration of muscles, and you get into this low back rhythm. One fellow had the lead, but it wasn't a comfortable lead, but he had the lead. And when crossing the existing line, the bell rang. Everyone knows the bell goes off not because you won, because it's the last lap. It's a reminder you have the last lap. Ding, 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 last lap. Everybody says last lap. Well, he thought he won and stopped skating. He coasted. He had one more lap to go. He was winning by 30, 40 feet, and he lost by nearly 200. You know, once you realize it's still going, you got to get back to it. Finish the race. Finish the race. 2003 Monaco International Formula One Racing. These are the low little cars, single seat, monster on, you can't drive them on a road. Bjorn Wertheim was super psyched about winning at Monaco. He was ahead of everybody. And he slowed down to a stop on the track right in front of his pit box to congratulate the team. Yeah, he just pulled over. Hey, yeah, we're doing good. The finish line's over there. His competitor didn't know he won because he hadn't crossed the finish line yet. The finish line was still a few meters ahead of him, and Nicholas Kisa, at that point in second place, sped by him to take the win. Finish the race. finish the race. One last example. April 2015, University of Oregon, steeplechase runner. Oh, I got to pronounce it. Tengai. I think that's his last name, Tengai. Lost in the most unfortunate way possible. As the Pepsi Team Invitational featuring Oregon, Washington, Kentucky, he began celebrating what looked like a victory before the finish line. And I still have this vision in my head. He's running along, and you can see him slowing down, and he's telling the crowd, come on, cheer me on. His competitor didn't know he won, didn't see him cross the finish line, and blew past him right at the end. And he goes, what happened? And the bewilderment on his face was, you didn't finish the race. We're in a race against our adversary and our human nature. And we're to finish the race. And we might say, well, we'd never do that. We'd never give up. Well, let's take a look at some cautions. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 6. First Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We have a history in this book. We have a lot of examples of what to do and what not to do in this book. Verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. They were written for our time. They were written for our education. They were written to help us to go forward, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We're talking about the end time. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let him who thinks he has crossed the finish line when he hasn't be reminded that he hasn't crossed the finish line. Examples in the Bible and all around us are to help us, to teach us how to and how not to run this race. Don't think it couldn't happen. We all need to take heed, to be cautious, to take the warning to heart, lest we fall down. There are examples in this Bible about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we learn from all of them. And there is pride. I don't need to learn. I would never do that. I would never make that mistake. Well, yeah, human nature comes to fore. We need to take heed and caution to run the race. And the neat thing in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it or to endure it. God has given us his Holy Spirit so that whatever we're involved with, whatever we're going through, we can continue the race. We can finish the race. God gives us strength and guidance even though we're hit with distraction and temptation constantly. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's not think this couldn't happen to us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. For the skaters who saw the finish line, saw how far in front they were, all I need to do is just coast forward. He compared themselves to those who were passionate competitors behind him. And he started coasting, started slowing down. We don't compare ourselves to others. It does no good. It provides confusion, and it puts doubt in our heads. We are not to think that we've got it made until Jesus Christ puts his feet on the Mount of Olives and we are changed into spirit. We don't compare ourselves with others. We are to compare ourselves with God's word and Jesus Christ. And then we are to endure, we are to last, we are to persevere, we are to finish the race. No matter how hard it can be, we are to finish the race. And it can be very hard. The 30th president of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, stated, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." He says, "Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." How important it is to continue to drive. 17th century historian Thomas Fuller states, "Invincible determination can accomplish almost anything, and in it lies the great distinction between great men and little men." Finish the race. Finish the race. The Bible is filled with words of encouragement and challenges for us to endure, to persevere, to remain focused, regardless of the trials and difficulties that we go through. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Please join me there. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. It's interesting that the analogy of running, athletics, and running is throughout the Bible. Here in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, he says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Whatever we're doing, we need to do it all out. And if we are running a race, we are all out until we cross the finish line. We don't stop, we don't slow down because we see the finish line. Verse 11, "I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all." You know, we are all going to go through trials and difficulties. But it's the man who endures. You know, the race, the outcome is not to the swift or the strong. It's to the one who continues. It's the one who starts and finishes. Time and chance doesn't mean that we're on our own. In Proverbs 15:3, it says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. God sees everything. Psalm 121. So God sees everything. He's not distracted and never sleeps. Psalm 121. Short chapter. Let's just read it. Psalm 121. "I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." He doesn't miss the opportunity to help. Sometimes we would wish he would help sooner, but he helps us when he chooses to help us. "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you, your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore." Once we have started the race, God is on our side. He's supporting us. He's helping us. He never sleeps. He's never distracted. And he cares so much about us. 1 Peter 5. I'll bounce you a little bit here. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God is love. God is the essence of love. The whole mind of God is to help us as his children to reach his kingdom, to reach the goal of his kingdom, to help us along this journey, to help us in this race that we're running. We know that God allows things, trials and difficulties in our lives to happen so that we may grow spiritually in maturity and strength and understanding. Our race really is in our hands. You can add this to your notes. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Keep the rules of the race in mind. Keep God's word in mind. Keep the plan of God in mind. But we're the ones responsible. Finish the race. Finish the race. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Just after 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. You know, God is love. Love is the nature of God. God's love pushes us along, helps us, guides us, strengthens us. Verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is in essence the mind of God. And this is the mind that we put in us, Philippians 2. Have this mind in you, and that's in Jesus Christ. Love endures all things. It endures trials. It endures joys. It endures disappointments. It endures successes and failures. Jesus Christ, giving encouragement to his disciples, helped them to understand the end times, stated, even with all the destruction around them, that they should hold fast to what they were given, because that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Finish the race. The one who continues to strive toward the goal, who remains focused and driven on to the finish line, the one who finishes the race will be in God's kingdom. Florence Chadwick, 1952, was swimming from Palos Verdes to the Channel Islands, 26 miles. It was cold, fog settled in, and the current was working against her. She was a long-distance swimmer. She was a world-class world-distance swimmer. 15 hours into the swim, she had doubts. She was surrounded by heavy fog. Now, there were support boats around her, making sure that no sharks would visit. And she had a support team. 15 hours, she started having doubts. And she told her mom, who was in one of the boats, I don't think I can finish this. But she swam on for another hour. And then she said, I need to stop. And they pushed through the fog a little further. She was 1 mile from the shore. 1 mile from shore. And she said, if I could have seen land, I know I would have made it. We need to keep the goal, the finish line, in mind. God has given us an incredible race to run. Driven by the goal and the experience and the confidence, Miss Chadwick, 2 months later, did break the existing record for going to the Channel Islands. She had she stopped at 15 hours and 54 minutes, but she broke the record at 13 hours 47 minutes. I like to swim. I'm not swimming to the Channel Islands. I'll throw one more at you. This one I took to camp. This one I found extraordinary. And I really recommend you watch this video. Heather Dorenden, and just put in race, Heather Dorenden, Pac-10 track and field. What an example. She was in a 600-meter race. It's three times around the track. The track was 200 meters. The beginning of the final lap, she was in the lead. She was in the lead. You're crossing. You get that final lap bell. Ding. Some feet got tied up, and she fell on her face. Pow. 200 meters. Third lap to go. She's on her face. I can't catch up with them. I'm done. They're now 50 to 75 feet ahead. There's nothing I can do. Didn't even cross her mind. She got up and ran. She had nothing to lose. She ran. She had long strides. She ran. You could see the energy in her body. She ran. Announcers were impressed. She ran down third place. But her sights weren't set on just placing in the top three. She ran. She pounded hard for the finish line. She caught up with second place on the final turn. And she caught first place at the finish line. She took first. Finished the race. It's not enough to start. You must finish. To finish first, you must first finish. Resistance is the greatest. Resistance is greatest the closest we get to the finish line. More times of trouble and difficulty show up the closer we are to our goal. And that's our adversary who's throwing things in front of us always. We need to keep our eye on the goal and not on the turmoil around us. I might have used this here. Again, I'm a Churchill file. I enjoy his writings. And many people try and quote and misquote and attribute wrong quotes to him. But this was attributed to Churchill, but I found that it was October 43, Christian Science Sentinel by John Donne in an article. He wrote, "When going through hell, keep going." That's not a place to stop. When going through hell, just keep going. It's not a place to stop. Endure, persevere, finish the race. Finish the race. Let's close in Romans 8, please. Romans 8. All of us go through trials and difficulties, temptations and troubles. So what does our Father tell us? Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." All things. Man, I don't like that. Because that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things that God allows in my life are for my good. All things. "To whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren." We're called into a family. And all the things that God allows in our lives help us to grow into that family, bring us closer to the goal of his family. "Moreover, whom he predestinated, those he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." We'll do a sermon on that because there's a huge amount of material in there. "What then," verse 31, "what then shall we say to these things?" What shall we say to the difficulties in our lives, to the distractions in our lives, to the adversary in our life, to our human nature that is our competition. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? "Who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all." Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, none of us would be in this room. "Who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Finish the race. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Finish the race. In all that we do, in all that we experience, in all that we see and hear, finish the race. Determine not to come up short. Determine to stay focused. Let's follow Paul's example and finish the race.